Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Loving in your eyes all the way. If I listen to your life.
Oh, how good does that sound?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I had forgotten already.
You forgot it was Friday?
Yeah, I forgot about the song.
Mark, come on.
I know.
Seven years. Come on now.
I know, but it's, you know, it sneaks up on me every Friday. Every Friday. Go ahead, Johnny. Turn it up. Let it go.
Although I don't know when exactly it started. I know it didn't start right away, but...
Yeah, no, it did.
Did it really?
Yeah, I requested it.
Like right away?
Yeah.
So this is...
like the first week.
Because we're going on, what, 7 years now?
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 7 years, the song, on Friday?
Crazy.
Wow. We've been doing this for 7 years.
I know.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I've got a beautiful room here at the Thompson Hotel in Chicago, right down here at the what they call the Viagra Triangle, to where all the divorced older men with tons of money come to live, and so
they call it the Viagra Triangle.
Yeah, oh yeah, it used to be the Golden Triangle, but now it's the Viagra Triangle. It's a bunch of 60-year-old dudes with fat cash. Beautiful. But yeah, it's a beautiful area, Chicago. Beautiful area.
The Viagra Triangle. I've never...
Right.
Any Chicagoland folks listening, either from out there or maybe you're living here now, is there merit to what Stink just talked about?
Hey, listen, man. I'm just reporting the news. Yeah. That's what I was told. The Viagra Triangle.
Speaking of reporting the news,
that's what you did
when you broke the story about Aaron Rodgers being this close to being traded to the Denver Broncos back in the day.
Yeah.
And that story has taken on a whole new twist. But before we get to that, everybody wants to know. You met with Aaron Rodgers yesterday because you're calling Packers and Bears.
Yeah.
You met with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. This was the first time you two had spoken since draft night a few years ago, a couple years ago. And since then, we know what's happened. He's stayed in Green Bay. Nathaniel Hackett is here. He had some controversial comments about vaccinations and everything that you were critical of. So I'm wondering, you two were once BFFs, how'd it go yesterday?
That was great. It was awesome. We had a great conversation. He's so, the guy is so, he's very intelligent. He's so introspective. And, listen, our relationship is kind of weird. We've known each other, since he got in the league. And we've always had this kind of relationship. I told you, he called me the Thursday before the Super Bowl. I told you that, right?
Yeah, that was in 2000?
Whatever it was, when they beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl, he called me on
their only one.
Yeah, bright and early Thursday morning because, it was like, where were we? Were we in Arizona for that? Was that where that was? Anyhow, my phone rang at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was Aaron. And like, hey, I need some advice. Like, we've had this kind of almost, it's almost like I'm an older, avuncular, this uncle to him. That's how our relationship is. So he knows that even when I give him grief, he knows it comes from, hey, listen, it's just like your own kid. If my kid does something that I think is stupid, I'm going to let him know I think it's stupid. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. And so like we had just have that relationship. So it was really, it was hunky dory. And he's a very smart, really good guy. You know, it's funny. I asked him about all his games in Chicago. Dude, this blew me away. So I was like, hey, you know, going back to Chicago last year, you kind of, you know, got in a little tete-a-tete with the fans. And, you know, you said that you owned them and you love coming here. And, you know, they're a bunch back and forth. He goes, yeah. He goes, I've always loved playing in Chicago. And, you know, and then he starts reminiscing about it. He goes, you know, when I went there in 2005, and then he went through every year by year. Oh, and then in 2007, you know, I threw that slant on third down and six to Jordy, and we converted, and then we went down and scored, and, you know, we won that game. And then there was that game, and he went through game by game, year by year, critical moment by critical moment in those games. And remember, and I'm like, dude, I walked out the garage. I can't remember why I walked out there. Like, you're photographic. He goes, yeah, with some things I am. You know, I've got a photographic memory with some things. Like, I can see it. So yeah, we had a great, you know, 40-minute conversation before he had to go to practice. So it was good, man. It was very enjoyable.
Texter writes in, I used to travel to Chicago for work multiple times a month and would always stay at the Thompson. I love the Viagra Triangle. Go to dinner in the Viagra Triangle and just watch the old guys and the old gals go out on the prowl.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Almost it's, as good as people watching at Walmart after 10 p.m.
Now that's fine.
Yeah, if you walk down the streets here in the Viagra Triangle, there's a bunch of $20 million, like literally $20 million townhouses. And this time of year, everybody who lives in them lives in Florida, you know, or wherever, somewhere warm. So they're all shut down for the winter, and they're all, you know, they all come back and move back in during the summer months. But this is a crazy, like real estate wise, crazy expensive, kind of crazy cool area of Chicago.
Well, I find the fact that you are calling an Aaron Rodgers game and visiting with Aaron Rodgers very apropos, since the story came out yesterday that Aaron Rodgers was plan A all along. Uh-huh. And that the Russell Wilson experiment, the Russell Wilson trade, is simply leftovers. We'll get into that. Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get whatever you want off your chest. It could be about anything and everything. Look, it's a Friday. We look to get a little loose on Fridays, have a little fun, have plenty of opinionated text, but also plenty of humor and snark, too. We love that. So we'll kick it off next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to unload those hot sports opinions. Hit us up, ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler published a report yesterday that said that the Broncos' plan was Aaron Rodgers all along.
Oh, weird.
And that they settled for Russell Wilson. Quote Fowler, multiple league execs are still convinced that Rodgers was the first choice before the four-time MVP re-signed with Green Bay. Went on to say, and he quoted, Fowler did, an NFC high-ranking NFC executive that said, quote, Aaron Rodgers, I could understand giving up that sort of package, but not Russell. Denver didn't have any familiarity with the player or his fit in the system, and he's declining as an aging, smaller quarterback. So, Stink, for all the people who gave you grief, for all the people who said you were catfishing us all, for everyone who came after you, this is your time to take a victory lap.
Well, I mean,
folks, apologies are welcome on the ramoslaw.com text sign 303-713-1043. You may proceed.
Well, there's a reason they gave me an island, Mike. There's a reason that I live on I Told You So Island, and I will accept your gracious apologies on the ramoslaw.com text line. You guys can just send those along. Listen, if you put all, like, people that deny, you know, the people that were mad or whatever. And I, you know, honestly, I didn't go about that the right way. I was so excited about that news, as you know, because I have an affinity for Aaron Rodgers, and he's a great quarterback. So, you know, I probably should have, I don't know, softened that a little bit. But I knew it was close. I mean, I knew the reports I was getting were impeccable. So, anyhow, long story short, I was excited for Denver. I was excited for the Broncos. It didn't work out. But if you put all the, like, if you just read the tea leaves, you put all the, you know, you put all the information together. Come on. Like, you courted him. You almost had him. You didn't get him. You interviewed all these people, and you know, Nathaniel Hackett became the guy. Like, who's Rodgers' like most trusted coach on that staff for the Packers? And who did he? I mean, he just went. He was effusive in his praise for him. I mean, you knew they thought, or you can tell they thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't that just feel like it makes the most sense?
Well, not only with that trade, but even afterwards, because you're right. A year had passed, another year passed, and then you know they hire Hackett, you
right.
know, with all the idea that Rodgers not happy in Green Bay and might force his way out. So what then do we make of George Payton saying, "Well, Wilson was our plan all along, and we've been working on this for a couple of years."
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that you always end up thinking about, you know, what if this doesn't work out? I mean, it already didn't work out once on draft night. So I think there's always, you know, contingencies, if you will. So if you think about it, and I have no idea. I mean, I don't know what George plans. What his plans were, what they weren't. So, you know, I'm not gonna say he's not telling the truth. I'm sure that they had worked on that. They had worked on, okay, if we don't get, well, and they didn't get Rodgers the first night, you know, the draft night. Did they think about other potential, you know, exit strategies or other potential strategies? I'm sure they have. So I'm sure this is part of it. But who would know Aaron Rodgers? I mean, who would he know better? 14 years as the assistant GM playing against Green Bay twice a year and watching him just cut your hearts out every year? Or Russell, who you play once every, what, 3 or 4 years? Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, what makes the most sense is they put all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket, not once, but twice. And twice, he basically said no. Or they said no.
Green Bay said no the first time. It was Green Bay that got cold feet the night of the draft when you
correct
had it nailed that he was close to getting traded here. Second time, it was, I think it was Rodgers who understood that Green Bay ultimately had the power to stare him down, and Rodgers blinked first, and now... You know, it's Payton's job to be able to read the situation and to be able to speculate and predict what's going to happen in Green Bay. And shouldn't he have seen that coming, that it was going to be difficult for Rodgers to extricate himself from Green Bay if the Packers wanted to hold on to him?
Yeah.
Because Packers ultimately still held the power there.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I think you do everything in your power to make that work. And, you know, if they decide at the last minute, hey, man, we're going to be in trouble. Like, we still have a good enough team to put up another 13-win season. Now, it hasn't gone that way, obviously. And, you know, and it hasn't worked out that way. But, you know, at the end of the day, they can agree to everything and then get cold feet and just say, hey, no, you know what, we're going to, because we have the power, we're not going to do it now. You know, there's always that potential, Mike. So, and ultimately, listen, nobody was pissed when the Broncos ended up getting Russell Wilson, right? I mean, this is not a drill.
No.
This is not a drill.
No.
It's not a drill.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of Captain Hindsights out there right now. And, you know, it's funny because they're the people that were ecstatic,
mm-hmm.
and didn't have a negative word to say, never once popped up and said, well, I don't think this is a good deal. And here, no, everybody was great about it.
And please remember, you know, this high-ranking official or NFL GM or whatever. You know, probably the same guy that said, "Hey, we got the goods on Patrick Mahomes. If you take away his first read, then he's not any good."
That's true.
Know?
There was an NFC executive who said that too this offseason.
It's,
yeah,
it's probably the same guy. So
that's a good point.
And take all these reports with, you know, revisionist history as well from that side of the ledger.
Let me play the what if game because you know Rodgers pretty well and you're a fan of him and you've done plenty of his games and Green Bay games. Let's say it had worked out that way. And maybe not so much draft night. Well, yeah, let's go with draft night. Or either scenario. Either they get him through draft night or they get him, they hire Hackett and he wants out and the Broncos end up trading for Rodgers that second time. Would it have worked out here? Would it have been different? Would Hackett have been different? Because look what's happened in Green Bay. They're 4-8. Uh-huh. Rodgers himself came out this week and said, "Yeah, hey, listen, if we fall out of playoff contention, get officially eliminated, I've got an open mind to the idea of shutting it down for the rest of the season."
Right.
And we were talking about yesterday the idea that Green Bay might be ready to move on from Rodgers and that Rodgers could be playing in San Francisco next year. So how do you think? Tell you what, hold on that thought.
Right.
How do you think? Alternate universe time. How do you think it would have worked with Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett here? Morning Brew next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, I think we all figured, Mark, that the Avs, after submitting a stinker on the road the other night in Winnipeg, would bounce back, and they did, although it was a little bit, I think, harder than expected. Buffalo Sabres have long been an NHL doormat, but they're starting to improve. They're starting to turn things around, and they gave the Avs a battle, but the Avs escape and get away with the 6-4 win. Jared Bednar talking about Georgiev's performance between the pipes.
I liked our 5-on-5 game tonight. I mean, it wasn't perfect. Obviously, we made the mistake right away off the rush attack goal where they went in and had the 2-on-1, gave them an easy one. That's a, you know, mental mistake on routine rush coverage that I don't love. We had a couple other breakdowns, but guys played hard, defended hard. For the most part, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, even I'm talking about 5-on-5, it's funny, the power of the Mile High Hockey podcast, myself and Matt Smith, chopping it up yesterday, and the podcast was dropped yesterday, and in it, we both discussed how JT Compher had been off to a really slow start and a disappointment with only one goal through the first 20 games of the season, and that he needed to pick up his performance. Word of us critiquing and criticizing JT Compher must have made his way to Buffalo because he had 2 goals and 2 assists last night. Best game of the season.
Wow.
Hey, man.
Hey, listen, the power that you, what's the word, wield? Is that the right word?
You wield, yes.
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 The power that you wield. I mean, you talked to Adam Schefter about the Buffalo Bills moving their game to Detroit. Boom, it happens several hours later.
Correct.
You dropped the podcast. Yes, you dropped the podcast. And what happens? Instantly, Compher scores some goal. Yep. I mean, it just is.
You understand.
Pretty amazing.
Why I must always remind myself to use my powers for good.
Yes.
Because they're that powerful. And if I'm not careful, they could get, I could be brought over to the dark side.
Yeah, too much, what's the line from Spider-Man? To whom much is given, much is expected.
That's how I view my power. And luckily I wielded it for good and for JT Compher. Next on the Morning Brew, Nathaniel Hackett. Oh, what a week it's been for Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about accountability the other day, how he demands it. And he was asked if he treats players getting personal fouls different than regular penalties.
A long December.
He is intro music.
We make sure, it's an emotional game. The guys are going out there, they're competing as hard as they possibly can in the right way, the legal way. And sometimes things happen. You know, people get chippy at times, and we don't want them to lose their dog within them. But we have to be sure we constrain ourselves as much as we possibly can.
Ah, can you still maintain your doggedness
mm-hmm.
and still avoid costly 15-yard personal unsportsmanlike penalties. Can you do both? Can you maintain discipline yet still maintain that dog in you?
Yeah, I mean you could definitely, if you're smart, you can do it. But you got to be. It's got to be something. It can't be one of those things that's talked about after the fact, Mike. It's got to be. It's like everything else. It's got to be coached on a day-to-day basis. It's got to be talked about. It's got to be reviewed. And it's one of those things where, you know, there is still in this league, there is still, just like it was in my time, frontier justice. And you have to talk about, hey, when somebody gets you, you know, take a mental note. All right, that's how it's going to be. And I'm going to get you. But I'm going to get you within, you know, the 7 seconds of the play. And it may be 3 plays from now, maybe a quarter from now. But I'm going to get you. And just put a tally sheet together in your mind and keep it back there. And then, you know, when the time comes and it's appropriate and it's within the context of the play, then you're going to get them, guy. And you got to think that way. And that's got to be talked about. In my time here in Denver, it was talked about just about every day.
Yeah, personal fouls bother me a lot more than just regular penalties. Regular penalties, they're usually physical penalties. You get beat, whatever. You have to reach out. You have to grab. Okay. Personal fouls or trash talking, unsportsmanlike, that to me is a complete lack of discipline. And when I see a team racking up those kind of penalties, it tells me right away they're not coached properly.
It's just
the way it is.
It's more than a lack of discipline, Mike. In many cases, it depends. Sometimes it's a lack of discipline. But the deeper issue is when it just becomes selfishness. The game is about you, and it's not about the teammates. It's not about the rest of your team. It's not about complimentary football. It's not about that. So then it becomes an epidemic. It becomes selfishness. That's when I don't have time for you.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to. But you're right. So many of those penalties, they are selfish penalties. They are selfish penalties, and there's no place for that. And I'm sorry. I disagree with Hackett there. You can still maintain your dog. And yet not put yourself in situations where your selfishness affects the rest of the team. So, yeah, he missed on that one. Next on the Morning Brew. Dwayne Stukes, your special teams coach. Oh, what a year it's been. Hey, our special teams continues to stink, but at least we have colorful, very articulate, good soundbite special teams coach. Here's another one.
You smile when you get that punt that the Carolina Panthers returner fumbled, right? You smile when you get the onside kick, and then when you get the kickoff return from the 50-yard line, you see in Jalen, he's making these cuts, and you're like, oh, man, he's about to score. And then he doesn't protect the ball, and he fumbles it, and then you're on the sideline kind of deflated because you knew the opportunity that was there to provide positive field position for our offense. So, yes, the inconsistencies of our play does bother me a lot. We have to get to a point where we're playing consistent on all 6 phases.
Hey, coach, doesn't bother you as much as it bothers us. We've been watching this for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like this is new to Broncos country.
No.
By the way, all 6 phases.
Yeah, what are all 6 phases?
I don't know. That's a new one to me. All 6 phases?
I would assume it's like punt coverage, punt return, kick coverage, kick return, field goal. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was like, so, okay, there's kickoff cover, kickoff return.
Yep.
Punt cover, punt return.
Now we're at 4.
Okay, there's 4.
And then field goal.
Field goal.
Execution and field goal
block.
Defending. Yeah.
Okay.
6.
The 6 phases of specialty.
Right? Did we just figure that out?
I think that's what he meant.
I think so, too.
Did we miss anything?
I don't think we missed anything. I don't think so. I want to get back to the question I teased right before we went to break. This ESPN report that the Broncos' plan A all along was Aaron Rodgers and that they settled for Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. How do you think it would have worked out here with Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett?
Remember, they're
4-8 right now in Green Bay.
Yeah. But again, there's a lot of things. You know,
Matt LaFleur.
It's always funny when you look at the film. And you start looking what they're doing offensively. I mean, there's a lot of good with, you know, a lot of receivers that are young players, rookies, and a couple old guys mixed in there. So I obviously think it would have been better here because your quarterback wouldn't have had, you know, he wouldn't have had issues with the offense that you're running because that's the offense that he runs. So there wouldn't have been the big learning curve for Aaron Rodgers. It'd been for everybody else, but not for your quarterback. So I think your quarterback would have played at a much higher level than Russell Wilson is playing at.
Well, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up, we'll have Troy Rank will join us and get his thoughts on another wild week that was so much happening with this team. They may be bad, but they're certainly not boring. And Troy gets to follow it every single day. He'll join us next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It's just me Friday as we give you a chance to unload those hot sports takes. It can be about anything, a lot of Broncos stuff, but if you want to weigh in on the Avs, the Nuggets, the Rockies, anything going on, world of sports and beyond, just be super opinionated, throw in some humor, plenty of snark, and away we go. Troy Rink will join us in a second. Is it just me, one texter says, or I'm not sure which is more laughable. Mark wanting credit for almost being correct about Aaron Rodgers or the Broncos wanting credit for almost being 9-2. I'd say you were a lot closer.
Yeah, I'm a lot closer than that.
You were more than just a play or two away.
Yeah, yeah. Just a play away. Oh, we're so close. I mean, we're so close to scoring 15 points a game. If we just could score 15 points a game, give me a break. You're not close. You're not even in the same area code, for crying out loud.
Troy Rank of Denver 7 joins us, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Morning, Troy.
Good morning, guys.
Wow. You're chipper, huh? You excited to cover the Broncos? I mean, another day at Dead Valley.
And this is a guy who covered the Rockies for 15 years.
Right. Like, what? Did you ever think that covering the Rockies could get worse? I mean, you ever think it could get that bad?
Just covering
the Broncos?
I did not. Yeah, I never thought it could be like this. It's very similar to covering the Rockies. The difference of covering baseball when a baseball team's bad, you have a game every day. And so there's outcome, there's something different. When you cover a bad football team, you're building up to one moment. I mean, it's made for television for 3 hours, as you know, Mark. But leading up to that one game can be difficult when the team's struggling, as this team is. Baseball, you have a game every day. So even if the team's struggling and losing in the same fashion, there's a uniqueness to it because you're watching an event, not, you know, just covering leading up to basically previewing an event. But listen, I love covering professional sports. I just never would have imagined this season would be like this. Any of the last five, it would not have surprised me if it had gone like this. This one has been dramatically different and jarring.
So it seems like every day it's a new mini or big bombshell. The latest now that ESPN report that says the Broncos' plan all along was Aaron Rodgers. That's why Nathaniel Hackett was hired, and they ended up having to settle for Russell Wilson. You believe that report to be true?
Well, listen, they were pursuing Rodgers. We all know this. I mean, but when they had gotten to the combine, they realized at the combine in February they weren't getting Aaron Rodgers. That's when they knew, and they were. But at the same time, they had done a lot of work on Wilson. But yeah, Rodgers was the main guy. I don't think this is news. That's why I was surprised by this report. The link to Hackett obviously is more interesting. And, yeah. You know, is Hackett basically hired because of Rodgers? I mean, they deny that even when it happened, even when he was hired. But they got to the combine. They realized in their mind they weren't getting Rodgers. They completely pivoted to get to Wilson. But the work on the Wilson trade began at the Senior Bowl. So it's not like, oh, no, Rodgers, oh, my God, let's just go get somebody. That's not the case. That's being disingenuous to George Payton. Now, this move has not worked out. But it's not like they just, on a napkin, decided who's next and just trade anything for it. They had done plenty of work on Wilson. But you could certainly argue that the hiring of Hackett would have made a lot more sense with Aaron Rodgers, because the Aaron Rodgers fit with Hackett was clear. The fit with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson has not worked out. It just has not worked out on a number of levels, specifically this offense.
Do you think Troy, and I know we're in the what-if game here, but let's play it. Do you think if they weren't interested in Aaron Rodgers, do you think Nathaniel Hackett would have been hired?
They would tell you yes, because they wanted energy, they wanted an offensive mind, they basically wanted the antithesis of Vic Fangio. And, I mean, remember, George Payton interviewed 10 guys over 20 days. So it wasn't like, you know, they went in and said, we're getting this one specific guy. Hackett won the interview, and he didn't know Payton going into the process. Payton's guy was Dan Quinn. That's the guy he had a relationship with, which is what I thought might ultimately win out, even though I know they didn't want a defensive, another defensive head coach. In hindsight, they would have been better with someone who had been a previous head coach, in my opinion. But listen, Hackett won the interview, and he checked a lot of boxes. They wanted to change culture, change energy, just, you know, a younger coach embracing innovation, all these things that they hadn't had, he did and promised. Just unfortunately, none of them worked. I remember saying, I don't know if I said it on your guys' show, I certainly said it multiple times on my podcast, when they hired him and you put this staff together, that I said, this is going to be a spectacular failure or spectacular success, because he's doing things in such a unique fashion that, again, it could just be like, oh my, he's figured it out and this is the new way. Or, man, a lot of these guys appear miscast and not ready. And I remember making their mark. That, remember when John Embry coached at CU? Individually, I liked a lot of those coaches. Together on a staff, they did not work, because a bunch of them were basically in roles that they weren't ready for.
Troy, what goes, you know, from a coaching staff standpoint, and you know, where do the Broncos go from here? Like, we've heard reports, and we've talked to Kliss, and we've talked to other people about, hey, maybe Hackett stays, maybe guys get fired, you know, the whole kind of concept of, hey, I don't want people over 40 on my staff, which is just insane to me. But bottom line is, where do they go from here?
Yeah, I don't know how Hackett would survive this, Mark. And let's take I can't take Wilson out of it, because he's part of it, but Hackett was hired for energy and to caffeinate the offense, change the way this team looked offensively while working with a proven quarterback. They have failed offensively in every way imaginable, from points per game, it's the second worst through 11 games, to their 1966 team, third down, red zone. I mean, pick a category. I know you have when you broadcast your games, Mark. They have failed in every way offensively until, you know, he gave up play calling to Clint Kubiak a few weeks ago. That's kind of a last straw to play, to be the head coach. You're like, okay, now he's going to be the head coach. This might make the fit, and that would be what could save him. But they haven't improved offensively, and they remain the most penalized team in the league. They're 31st on special teams. I mean, that's just stuff. I mean, you hate to see a guy be a one and done, but it's just, there's so many things that have happened that suggests that how would it get a lot better next year? I mean, now you're going to have to run it back with Russell Wilson for one more year at least. And I think that's what would happen, is that you hire a veteran coach, or you hire a coach, maybe even promote Agero, and then you get the right, you know, what you feel is the right offensive coordinator to try to salvage Russ next year and move forward. But the problem that Hackett runs into to surviving this, Mark, is the fact that all these things that he did backfired. We're not going to have a hard training camp because we're going to be the healthiest team in November and December. They lead the league in injuries. You know, we're going to be a disciplined team because we've done all these mental reps. It's going to keep us fresher. They have the most penalties. And we're going to play complimentary football. That's going to be different from the last 6.5 years. They do anything but. And now their defense is starting to show the wear of that, and the elasticity of the rubber band is out. So those are things that would make it hard for Hackett to survive. Just looking like he wasn't ready to be a head coach, take away the Wilson dynamic, just the idea that statistically it's hard to believe they could be worse in many categories.
Okay, we shall see what happens on Sunday. I think we all have an idea of how this is going to end up, but we'll talk to you on Sunday as part of our pregame show. Troy, as always, we appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Have a great show.
Troy Rank of Denver 7. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And all of our guests appearing on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Four Down Territory coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.